What's going on, guys? Tuesday morning with a cup of Joe here on 101.5 UMFM. Cup of Joe with a shot of rye. I gotta start saying that now. Because once again, it's gonna be a regular thing. Ryan Stelter with me once again. What's going on, Ryan?
Good. I'm always happy to be here.
Yeah, it's always
a good time.
Always a good time.
Oh, no, this is gonna be annoying.
I'm just squeaky gonna sit chair. Like this. Yeah.
Okay. You know, just don't maybe I'll change chairs.
Okay, change chairs. Yeah. While you're changing chairs, obviously we've got to talk about one thing that's been all over the news and in our minds and on social media too. You know, just pretty much everywhere. So if you haven't heard, Friday night, tragedy in Saskatchewan, obviously when a semi truck collided with the team bus that was carrying the Humboldt Broncos of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Unfortunately, 15 confirmed, I believe, have perished in that horrific tragedy. And obviously, that's been on our minds. I mean, you and I, we're close to pretty much hockey in the sports world, and all the sports world that's really related to the incident in one way or another. You know, whether you play on a sports team, whether you follow, you know, kids as prospects, or you know, your local junior hockey team, it affects you, especially if you're in Canada. It affects you in some way, and you know, just really, you know, it makes sense to see it all over the news. And you know, obviously with a lot of people coming through to give their condolences. I mean, you know, you've had the Premier of Saskatchewan, you've had the Prime Minister of Canada, you've had
Donald Trump, even
him, you know.
I think the Queen actually had a message as well.
Yeah, just showing their support. And so, you know, it's obviously, despite everything, it's obviously got to be nice to know that if you're one of the affected, you know, everyone has your back, essentially. And that's always good to have, especially in a time like this. You know, as a parent, I can't imagine losing a child, especially to something as horrific as that, where you think, you know, on a team bus, where, you know, a lot of the bonding and team bonding happens, you know, where you kind of just make new friends for life. And so obviously a really sad incident. And you know, if any of them are by chance listening to this radio show on Tuesday morning, obviously you have to know that Ryan and I support you as well through this tough time. I don't know, like, Ryan, have you got anything to say? Or?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm not normally one. I feel bad, but I normally don't get too emotionally affected by stuff like this. It's awful. I hate it. But I think the biggest thing is what I see, too, a lot of it. I see the ugly side of it where, I don't know, this is a weird critique, but I find when stuff like this happens, it doesn't matter if it's a hockey thing or if it's a shooting or some kind of thing.
Yeah.
People all of a sudden turn it onto themselves and make it about themselves. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, that just kind of bugs me, where they say, I've been on a bus before, this could have been me. Well, I'm like, it wasn't you. Why are you twisting the narrative to make it about yourself? I know I get people's intentions are good, but I just feel like it's done in the wrong way. It's a weird critique, but I think it's all, you know, you don't have to publicly go out and support. I mean, we're doing this right now, publicly supporting them, but
We have a medium that we're on, right?
Yeah.
Consistently. So at least it's.
I mean, just because you have a Twitter account, you don't have, you're not some kind of god for supporting them. You don't have to feel like you're, by or retweeting them, you know. I think people get some kind of complex out of that by changing their profile picture, doing this, doing that. But in a week from now, they'll forget about it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, it becomes almost like a social media fad.
Mm-hmm,
and that's the thing I hate about these types of things, is that, you know, everybody changes their profile picture, has the hashtags go out, and then, you know, we're on to the next thing another week from now, which is unfortunately going to happen to this situation. I mean, with us being so involved in the sports world, we might actually hear more of it, but I feel like for the most general public, it'll go away, and that sucks. I don't think it should go away. I think this sucks for the families and the kids, and well, you know, I think the hockey community will always remember them, regardless of the future, regardless of the team you play on. I think this will be something that hockey parents and hockey players and the hockey community will hold in their hearts for a long time. So,
yeah,
I don't like it when people make it about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that, you know, I feel like isn't really talked about a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, like tragedies like these. Obviously, if you're the parents, or, you know, if you're someone who's closely affected by the incident, it's nice to know that, you know, people are supporting you. But on the other side of that, you know, while you're accepting that support, you know, there's the people, like you said, you know, when it comes to tragedies like these, I remember when there was the Paris incident, right? Yeah. You know, there was a hashtag pray for Paris. You could change your profile picture and everything. But then like a week after that,
it's gone.
Like you said, yeah, like it's gone. Like it's, and I guess, you know, maybe it might be too much to ask a person to be like, hey, keep remembering and all this stuff, right? But at the same time, I think there is a point there where, you know, you don't really need to publicize
your support, right?
Like you can have your thoughts and prayers and you can keep it to yourself. But I think there is some sort of I don't want to say incentive, but there is some sort of, benefit, or like you feel like you're doing something when you do something like that, right? Like when you change your profile picture, when you put a hashtag, like,
but you're really not, essentially.
Yeah. Like it allows some people to, it allows some people to place themselves on a moral high ground, it seems like. And then, you know, other people feel pressured to do it. Like, I'm not as good a person because I'm not doing this, so I got to do it. And it sort of snowballs. It's awesome to see all the support. But like you said, then they change their profile picture. Then they change the hashtag. Then they, you know, go back to maybe some things that maybe conflict with the entire incident or the tragedy, right? And it's unfortunate. I guess that's just the way, like we talked about this last week, like that's just the way social media is, right? Like you create an image for yourself, you make it seem like you're something you're not, right? Like, it's unfortunate, but
it's like, you know, you're not a bad person because I personally never tweeted out hashtag prayers for Humboldt or anything like that. I haven't done, and that doesn't make me a bad person.
No,
it doesn't make you a better person than me because you've tweeted that out or changed your profile picture. But I'm also not slandering you for doing that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you know, you're not better. Don't think you're better than me because you are doing that. I think that's what we're trying to say.
I think that's
not on any more of a higher moral high ground than, like you said, you made a good point there about that. I think
that is important to note, is that if you're not a bad person for not talking about it or tweeting about it,
but you're not a bad person for doing it either.
Yeah. And, but it, don't think that you know, other people are bad because they don't do it. Other people are, you're better because you do it. Yeah. And it's not just this incident, it's every other tragedy that happens worldwide, right? Like, and, you know, speaking personally, you know, when I was on social media, like early on, I kind of felt that way too. Like whenever I saw a tragedy or an incident, I would be like, oh, well, I got to put this hashtag. I got to change my profile picture. Like, I got to let people know, like, I support this, right? And, you know, maybe that is the motivation for a lot of these people that do it. And it's good that they support it, like I said. But, you know, what are your actual, you know, maybe subconscious intentions that you have when you do such a thing? And I think that's something that needs to be talked about.
Yeah. Especially. Well, and this makes some sound like it's coming from the wrong place. But Anthony Jeselnik, the comedian.
Yeah.
He had on one of his specials. And I know he's trying to make a joke, but he actually had a good point his special is actually called Thoughts and Prayers.
Okay.
It's kind of dark anyway. Yeah. He's very dark sided anyways.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he said that when people do those types of things after tragedy, regardless of what it is, and they say thoughts and prayers out to the victims, it's almost essentially saying, and then, you know, forgetting about it the next day is essentially saying, don't forget about me today. Yeah. I still exist. Here's my thoughts. I care. You know, I'm a good person. It's, you know, it's the facade you put onto the world, and that regardless if it's a tragedy or if it's anything else you're putting on a facade for the world with your social media.
It seems like, I don't know if it's the right way to put it, but it seems like sometimes people make it a competition to make it seem like they're doing more good than you.
Yeah.
You know, like when you're like, oh, I gave a homeless person this, or I volunteered at the shelter and all this stuff. And it's like, that's great. And, you know, the benefits are conferred upon those who were, you know, at the shelter, or at the home, or the homeless person. You don't need to tell us.
No, exactly.
Like, because we don't get any benefit besides from the fact that maybe some of us are like, you're such a great person, which is probably what you want
exactly,
when you do that kind of thing, right? Which is unfortunate because, like I said, like, what were your initial intentions then in the first place when you did this?
Were you doing it for the Instagram pic, or were you doing it because, you know, it's out of the goodness of your heart?
Yeah.
I feel like you don't need to publicize that, and I would never do that.
Yeah.
Just because I feel like it's not necessary for people to know what I do.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, even if I'm doing a bad thing, I don't think people need to know what I'm doing all the time.
Exactly.
So, like, there's just some things that, you've kind of, when you see something like that, it's like, why are you sharing it? Maybe mm-hmm. you're encouraging others to do that. Maybe you inspire someone else to do that. Who knows? I don't know. I'm not trying to make a sweeping generalization.
No,
I feel like it's something that we should look at.
Mm-hmm. And I think, like, you know, if you're a celebrity or if you're someone of like high influence. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you can influence someone else. But if you're, you know, Brad from high school who stumbled upon some money and, you know, you got some more followers than other people and you're like, hey, look at what I'm doing. Yeah. It's like, I'm glad you're doing that, but you don't need to publish it.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to tell people.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost in the same position as you, is where I can do the same thing, right?
Exactly,
and it's like, you know, I'm not feeling any benefit from you doing that. Like, maybe I'll think about doing it, but, you know, besides that, I think that wasn't your intention, at least for me.
Maybe
we're just being cynical. Who knows?
I think it's like, it's something we should look at regardless of whether we're being cynical or not. I think it's a genuine point to raise mm-hmm. for a lot of things. And I mean, I kind of want to wrap it up, but this segment this is not very fun to start a radio show. But
we got into serious discourse last time. It's good to have this discourse.
It is good, but I think what we're trying to say is, you know, don't forget about these kids and their families.
Exactly. I think that's
even after the hashtag's over tomorrow.
Yeah, I think that's the overall point. You know, obviously, with every tragedy, including this one, always remember them.
Yeah,
and I think they will be, and that's the best part, is that as a country and as a sports community, we can all gather around this thing and support them, you know, for as long as we can.
Yeah, I just keep them in your thoughts and keep them, you know, keep it at the forefront for as long as possible, because it's absolutely terrible what happened.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Baseball happened over the weekend.
Oh, that's how we segue, hey? All right,
easy segue out of that.
No, there really isn't. Like, with like sports station, like TV stations, like they
get a commercial.
Yeah, they get a commercial break. But it's like with us, it's like we don't have commercial. I could have played a song, but I would have picked like a trap song, which is completely inappropriate. After talking about that, no, it's about our weekends actually. I mean,
it was your birthday, man. Happy birthday!
It was my birthday. Thank you. I didn't do anything. Birthdays
are overrated?
They're overrated.
Okay.
I think
we're in the same boat.
I think after 21, birthdays are overrated, because, and even then, it's like 21. It's like, if you're in America, birthdays are fun, because that's
like
legal
18
age.
In Canada.
But 18 is, yeah. After that, it's like, okay, I guess I'll wait till I'm legal in the States. But how often do I go to the States? Not a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like,
who cares?
Birthdays are overrated to me now. Like, it's just like, oh, great, I got a reminder that I'm a year older and I haven't accomplished anything.
It's like another year's gone by. Like,
oh, no.
I don't like having, like, I know a lot of people like to make big deals out of birthdays. Like, oh, we're going to have a big birthday get going. I don't want to just e-transfer me your money over.
Yeah,
if you're going to send me money, e-transfer it over. And, you know, it's also sometimes an excuse to just hang out with family. But
yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, a
nice thing.
A couple people asked me, like, what do you do for your birthday? And I was like, nothing. Like,
yeah, if you're 22 and going, or 23 going to the club for your birthday.
Exactly. Like, if I wanted to do something, it'd be with like a couple, like a few friends, and like have a few drinks.
Yeah,
but
not come on, man. We're going 4-for-1. Get on my VIP list. Ooh, gross. You have like a 2-year window to do that. When you're 18, 19, you can do that.
Yeah.
After that, forget about it.
Yeah.
Be chill.
If this is you know, my personal opinion. If you're in the club when you're 21, 22, okay, 21, maybe you're pushing it.
You're in your retirement.
But 22, 23, you need to leave. You need to retire from the clubs. Because
you
know who's at the clubs? Fresh 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds. And it's
sometimes 17, 16-year-olds with fake IDs.
That's,
so it's,
that's scary, man.
It's kids who go to the clubs.
Exactly. So if you're 23, you know, find like an older person club maybe. Go to King's Head if you feel like
it. Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, don't.
I think specifically in Winnipeg, too. I don't know what it is, the nightlife is in, like, in other cities, but I feel like
it
could be a general sentiment shared.
Maybe it is Winnipeg, just because of how little options we have when it comes to nightlife. Maybe other cities, you know, I see on Instagram, it's like, oh, look, we're at the club, and it's like, they're popping bottles, and a rapper came through. I don't know what happened. What? Stuff like that, right? But it's like, here, it's like, oh, we had Larry and Tyster at Cowboy.
That was embarrassing how many people were at that.
I
was embarrassed for my race of white people. I'm sorry.
There's a long list of embarrassments.
I know. That's a good shot. That's a good one. But yeah, there's a lot of things we could be embarrassed about. That one specifically, I was like, ugh.
I was watching the live stream he had going on, and I was like, wow, this is
the pinnacle for a lot of people. Unfortunately,
I was like,
all those people living in Sanford, that's their peak right there.
I was like, I am not letting my daughter, if I have one, get into country music. I'm just
never. Country music is awful.
Yeah, yeah, we got to establish that country music overrated.
It is overrated. You know what? I used to kind of like country music when I was in high school. I listened to it a bit, and I mean, I'm not. There's certain types of country music that I like. I like the old-timey country music.
Yeah, let's settle that. So, new country sucks and is overrated.
Yeah, I got like bro-y country, like Luke
Bryan.
Bro
country. That's what it's called. There's an actual Wikipedia definition of bro country.
Blake Shelton, those guys. Yeah. Like even Carrie Underwood and those. It's that mainstream country now. I like their. There's actually this really good band called the Give 'Em Hell Boys. They played at. I was at. In Camrose, Alberta last summer.
Yeah.
And they have one of the biggest country fests in all of Western Canada out there. So I was obviously covering that with the newspaper there.
Yeah.
And I saw this band and I did a feature on them, the Give 'Em Hell Boys, and they had this really unique sound. They kind of had that old-timey banjo and kind of fast playing. Like it sounded like I was in a bar in the 1800s kind of thing. Like, I don't know. It just sounded cool. Like it didn't. It sounded like what you'd think country music sounds like, and it was really good.
I feel like we're so exposed to bro country that anything that doesn't sound like bro country is just like, it's good.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to lie. I love me some Dixie Chicks. I like a few of their songs. A few of their songs I like. Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
You got a few of those.
There's one band, the one new band that I do like is, I like Dallas Smith and I like Little Big Town. Those are.
Oh, okay.
I don't think Dallas Smith is bro country, but it's.
I've listened to him a lot.
He also was the lead singer of the band Default. I don't know if you ever heard of
really?
Them.
Really?
Yeah, he was the lead singer there.
Wow, I did not know that.
I know. I didn't know that either. I literally saw him play live and I was like, this is Default. Wait, this is Default. I remember listening to this on NHL 2002.
What's their one song?
Deny. Yeah. I don't remember their other ones, but he was lead singer Default. He's also a Vancouver Canucks fan.
There you go. Yeah, I almost sang Creed for a second there. I was gonna sing. Can you take me higher?
They sound a lot.
Yeah,
like
that's what I thought.
But yeah, country music as a whole, not a great genre.
Bro country, yeah, no. That's why like it was always hard. Because it was like all my friends were into country.
I guess growing up in Transcona would have been tough.
So a lot of my friends liked country music. Like they liked rap music too. Like they had like mixed tastes. But they were okay with drinking to country music. Meanwhile, I was just like, I would have a bad time if I drank to country music. And it was always just such a chore. Saturday nights. Joe, let's go to Cowboys. I'm like, no.
I know. I've had that too. C-Boys?
Yeah.
C-Boys?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And it sucks there.
And it's like the couple times that I did go, it was just horrible. And I was just like,
I've never had a good time there.
When I went and I stood at the bar, I looked around and I was just like, I am the only brown guy.
Seen about like two people of color ever go there.
Like, I'm just like, I'm the only Filipino in this establishment and I'm kind of intimidated. I'm not going to.
I honestly would be too.
Yeah.
With seeing some of the, like, cause I know a lot of people, like I used to play hockey in Lorette, Manitoba, which is like 20 minutes outside the city in like a little town. We play in a bunch of small town communities all over southeastern Manitoba, and I know they all love going to Cowboys. You have like rural Manitobans.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you know anything about rural Manitoba. It's the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And it's also very, very white. Very white.
Yes.
I'm not saying they all are have some kind of prejudices, but if people were to have prejudices and be on the wrong side, they might come from rural Manitoba.
They might.
Okay. I'm just saying. I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying I've lived and dealt with that.
Yeah.
And I know what they're like. So,
if you know a rural Manitoban, you might know a racist.
No, I'm not. You can't even. That's not even a false statement.
No.
Because I know a lot of rural Manitobans and.
I know a couple that are nice and they like me, but you know, hang around their friends, you get the vibe.
You get an uncomfortable feeling.
You get the vibe that you're just sitting on the edge of the bench and you're like, I'm gonna go now, guys. Yeah. I see y'all turned on the Eric Church, so I'm gonna go home and listen to something else.
And if you call them out on it, they immediately get defensive. But I think it's just so ingrained into them.
That's why I wanted to do the Tobin talk.
I know, that would have been hilarious.
Where we had music students trash on country music just to see the reaction.
That would have been probably worse than the engineering one. Actually, no.
No. Because
we're triggering, I'm going to say it, largely left-wing leaning people.
Yeah.
And liberal arts degrees.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And on the other side, we'll be triggering, although, you know what, there's snowflakes on both sides of the spectrum. Hate it when they use the
snowflake
for just liberals. Or
it's like, it's the rhetoric around, you know, like talking to the other side is just terrible now. Like it's just
awful.
Oh, it's the worst thing ever. Like
you can't have an actual discussion with just immediately dropping a name calling or going for the groin. Like, you know,
and that's the worst in like the Manitoban comments too. Like you see a lot of comments like you're a snowflake. Oh, rah, rah,
triggered
rah.
Snowflakes. And then the thing is like, well, if you're so mad about this, write something for us.
Yeah.
Like write something for the Manitoban. Hey, if you're listening and you have some opinions, write about them. The Manitoban will take them if they're well written and not racist.
Noel Harsons.
Yep. Oh yeah.
We'll leave it at that. But going back,
we started this off with birthdays.
Got into country music. We got into clubs actually. Talked about clubs for a bit, and then we trashed country music, and then we trashed rural white Manitobans for a bit there. And now we're talking about liberals and snowflakes and the spectrum.
How was your weekend, Joe? Joe, was it good?
It was good.
What else did you do? What else did you get up to?
I watched UFC 223.
My buddy was actually there.
Really?
Yeah.
Like at the event?
Yeah, in New York. Yeah.
Oh,
he actually was at the precinct where Conor McGregor was.
Oh,
too. Yeah. He
was
like 2 blocks from his Airbnb, so he checked it out.
Yeah, no. I went to usually like Tavern puts it on, so I'll go to the Tavern, and it's like 2 minutes away from me, so it's so nice. So you just like, there's no cover fee or anything.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like they have like a competition where like you pick a fighter and you can win a poster.
Yeah.
So that's always fun. UFC 223 because like after the whole Conor incident, 3 matches had to be pulled from the main card.
Yeah.
And had to be replaced. I think it was 3 matches, 3 fighters. I forget, but there was one match, the first one in the main card, and it was really good. And like it hyped like our table up. Like everyone in like the Tavern was like, "Yeah, good fight, good fight." Next 3 fights, snooze fest, absolute snooze fest. Like no one, like people were on their phones, people were talking. Oh. I'm like looking around. I'm like,
sucks.
There are fewer tap out shirts at least this time in this establishment.
That's a whole other cultural phenomenon we could talk about.
Tap out shirts. White block Oakleys. And
yep. Cargo shorts and flip flops. You know they're coming out this summer. They're just waiting for those cargo shorts and flip flops.
Oh, yeah.
White pasty knees showing.
Coming from rural Manitoba.
No, those guys are coming from Transcona.
Yeah, you're right.
Transcona. Sorry, they're coming from Transcona.
No, they are. I know they are.
Rural Manitobans are going to come with their... we can't stop
bootcut
talking
about jeans.
Yeah.
All right, we'll stop.
Stop.
Rural Manitobans, if you're listening,
great
we love
people.
You.
Some of them.
We love you.
Some of you.
Please be more welcoming when I pass by.
For all those who are listening, Joe is not white.
Yes.
By the way.
I know
you haven't picked up on that.
I know in my voice sometimes I have what we call a culture shift where. We sort of, you know,
a culture shift.
Lose the slang, lose the enunciations, and talk very proper, like this,
like a radio voice.
Yeah, rather than you know, like talking like, man, like we was out here in rural Manitoba doing our thing. You know what I'm saying? And it was so many white.
Is the term whitewashed become a? I don't know. Is that a racist term?
I forget now. Like, cause like I use it normally. Like,
I guess.
Cause it's like.
I guess it's a real term you could call it.
I don't know what the proper term would be. I guess I grew up. In a predominantly white culture, I guess you would call it. But I guess politically correct, you can't say whitewash. I don't know.
I don't know either because I
used it freely, and then I think I used it. I think I used it one time around someone, and they were like, "What?" And I was like, "I grew up around white people a lot." Like,
yeah, I feel like I had it too when I grew up. Well, I also grew up in a predominantly white neighborhood too.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I mean, a lot of Winnipeg. Actually, you know, a lot of Winnipeg. I've realized a lot of Winnipeg is different colors.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of sectioned off.
They are. No, that's the thing. Like, that was the weirdest thing, too, because, like, a lot of my family that was here, they lived in, like, you know, Maples, West End, sort of like that area, right, where there's all Filipinos. So, like, they got all that Filipino culture growing up around that. Meanwhile, you know, like they're growing up around like basketball and hip hop dancing and like slow R&B jams. And I'm over here growing up to like Green Day and hockey. And
hey, nothing wrong. I like Green Day.
I like Green Day too.
Green Day is good.
Green Day is OG. But you know,
no, it's just, a different life. And even like in like the same city.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it was like you saw it when we had like family gatherings, like, You meet with your cousins, and then like I would get like ragged on because they're like, "You're so whitewashed," and I'm like, "I know," like that. Yeah. But now it's just it's whatever now. Like I've slowly come back to your
Filipino roots.
Trying to. I'm it's a nice cocktail now. It's just
there you go. It's a good culture.
I have enough experience now where I'm able to like
flip flop.
Yeah, like I can you know, recognize the situation and act appropriately. You know what I'm saying? Like if a buddy invites me out and I see like a bunch of like, you know, guys with hats that are white, I'm like, all right,
baseball hats,
hockey guys,
it's always baseball hats.
And then if I see, you know, if someone invites me out and I see, you know, some hoodies and some nice shoes, and I'm like, all right, basketball crowd. It's like that. Anyways, how was your weekend, Ryan?
Oh, man. I love this. We're almost half an hour in. We've talked nothing but race. And, like, this is... We are getting some toe in the line here.
This show is getting pulled.
No, it's not. I think nothing we've said is mean.
No, yeah. We just... We spoke what's on our minds, and we spoke...
No, we haven't called anybody racist. We haven't called anybody...
We called somebody racist.
No, we didn't.
We called the general population. Well, I called somebody racist. But I think I'm in a position to do that.
Yeah, so. You are. I can't. I didn't call anybody racist. I didn't call anybody.
Ryan, you're good.
I am staring at the zero tolerance policy here at UMFM. We have not broken.
No, we haven't.
We haven't been hateful at all.
No.
No.
We're just
speaking from experience.
We were speaking candidly.
From our own personal experiences. Yeah, and like I said, we're not generalizing anybody.
No, absolutely not.
Okay, anyways, my weekend. Yes. I don't remember what I did.
Wow. Okay.
It wasn't that like wild. It was just that boring.
Yeah.
I think on Friday I did laundry. Saturday I watched baseball all day. Went to my buddy's place to watch baseball. He has moving into apartment, so it's really depressing right now. It's just two chairs and a laptop. Just watching baseball, eating Papa John's. And then Sunday I've like haven't done this in a long time. I just spent the whole day on the couch.
Yeah.
And watched baseball and sports and hung out. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
This is what it's like.
Yeah.
Even though I have an exam tomorrow.
exam
on Wednesday.
No, I did that yesterday too, like with the Masters and baseball on. Like I was like, I woke up and I was like, I'm gonna sit on the couch and eat leftovers today.
Yeah.
It was great. It was nice. I was like, I'm finished all my assignments. Well, I have one left, but you know, I have enough time to finish it, but it's like everything else. And it's weird too, because like now that we're going into summer and that we're done classes, it's going to happen where like we're on the couch and it'll be like 7:30 or 8:30 p.m. and it'll be like, did I forget something?
Yeah, I know. Like I was almost like, I was almost thinking, I was like, what do I got to do? What do I got to do? I'm like, I have an exam, but I mean, English exams are super easy to study for. If you read the books, you kind of know what you're going to like. All the questions on the exam are basically just about the books you've read. So if you've read the material, you're fine.
That's perfect then.
Yeah, like I mean, I'll reread it over and make sure I'm familiar with stuff. But literally, is the easiest exams to study for.
Nice.
Our English exams. So
yeah,
not too worried about that. But yeah, I was just like, nothing I got to write, nothing I got to do. Like it was so nice to just kind of blank everything out. But
oh yeah, no, because you get that feeling, right? Like during the school year, it's always like, did I forget something? Do I have an assignment? Do I have something?
It's that backy. It's the little voice in the back of your head just constantly telling you have to do this. You have to do this. I have a paper due. 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 And even when you're, or I have to read this. I have to read this. I have to read this. And even every time you're not doing that, you feel guilty that you're not doing it. And you're like, like I just want to be able to shut it off, but I can't because like that's just the way I am. I'm sure there's ways to do it, but
that's a lot of us. I think like it's just.
The university struggle.
When you get into a routine of like having assignments and readings, like you start worrying about it. Like it's like another job essentially, right? Like did I forget to do my shift? Did I forget to do this?
Yeah, but the thing with a job is you could leave it at work.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, as soon as I walk out the door, I'm like, look, whatever. I shut it off. I'm in chill mode now, baby.
Yeah,
like I don't know. It's not like at work where I'm like, I have to finish this assignment for work tomorrow.
Yeah,
no, I'll finish it tomorrow.
That's true. That is true. Yeah,
school is this thing that's just with you all the time. because it requires work outside of being on campus.
Oh, that's the worst. It was nice having a chill Sunday because, like, I have a paper left still, but later that night, like, I did my outline and, like, did, like, a reading and, like...
Wow, you do paper outlines?
I felt so much more clear. I was like, wow, like, oh my God, I have all these ideas I can write out. What? I thought I'd blank out, but yeah, no, I had to do an outline because, like, it's a long paper.
I guess philosophy is different.
It's a long paper.
I mean, I think in general I should be doing outlines, but I'm not.
Yeah, no, I did it because, like, it's a long paper, and I'm just like, what am I going to write? I got to go in with a game plan.
Yeah, no, that's a good call. It's a smart game plan, something I should probably adopt into my repertoire as a student. But you know what? I got one semester left.
Yeah, so there you go. You're good. Only one semester?
I got three classes left. If all goes well here, who knows? I still got four exams.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Okay. Let's talk about baseball.
Yeah. What were your baseball highlights of the week? It's opening week.
Yeah. So the Jays... I guess we'll talk about the Jays. I'll talk about the Jays for a bit. You can talk about the Dodgers if you want. I know their offense is still gone, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Gone with Adrian Gonzalez.
Yeah. The Jays, they split the series, I think, in Texas. Or no, I think they took it 2-1. Obviously, nice to see. I feel like every win from the Jays this season I'm going to enjoy because, like, I've set such low expectations for them because I'm just like, well, this team sucks. And then I see them win, and I'm like, oh, that's... It's good to see. Yeah, okay, so they did split it 2-1. Their offense is looking really good for some reason. Pilar is batting. Donaldson's finding the bat. They're getting some good pitching as well. The bullpen's still kind of, I'm not really... Well, not actually, the bullpen's doing a lot better than the starters. I can say that much. Osuna looks good. But it's only the first week of the season, so...
I know.
We have to wait until and see what happens. But for now, I'm riding that high. And Texas... Oh, I remember Gallo got like a home run off of Jaime Garcia, and I was just like, "This guy." Gallo. Seeing this guy hit like hit home runs is the best thing ever. Like it's
I love
just
Joey.
Just that upper. Like, okay, wait, I'm gonna find the stat for you from that profile I sent you, the barrel alert.
Yeah.
I remember I talked about in my article, the sweet spot for hitting a ball is 26 degrees. And I believe, yeah, so Joey Gallo off of Jaime Garcia, 25 degrees, 445-foot home run.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that was in Texas?
That was in Texas. So Gallo, you know, even though you have a bad batting average and an on-base percentage, just keeping those home runs because those are fun to watch, I think. And then obviously there's been some surprises. Obviously, it's going to happen the first week. The Mets sweeping Washington in Washington and currently sitting at 7-1 in their division is another
thing. I love it.
I didn't see it coming.
New York Mets, baby.
New York. New York. New York.
Just start talking about New York. New York. It sounds like Bill Burr.
Gabagool.
Joe DiMaggio. Come on, Joey. Joey Gallo, what are you doing?
Hey, Joey.
Hey, Joey, come on. Let's go down to the deli. Come on, Joey. Let's go down to Fifth Ave. Come on, Joey.
Joey, you gotta swing 26 degrees, Joey. Hey,
Joey, come on, you messed up the rigatoni. Come on, I'm walking you.
Joey, my grandma can get a higher batting average than you. Come on, Joey, what are you doing?
Just everybody in New York is named Joey.
Yeah, every guy, Joey or Nikki
or Tony
or Tony's a good one. what are some good classic New York
names?
Yeah,
Joey, Tony.
Nikki. Bobby.
Bobby, that's a good one. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Come here. I want to talk to you. Billy. I was going to say, I'm just kind of...
I'm trying to remember names from The Godfather, but I can't. I'm blanking right now.
Frankie.
Frankie, yeah. Frankie.
I think it's any like old guy name, but just with E, or like I.
Yeah, basically like if you do like NHL nicknames, but then just with, like...
But drop the S.
Yeah.
But it's like Frankie, Eddie. No, Eddie's not a New York name.
Yeah, that's pushing it. I think that's more West Coast. Eddie.
Or like Midwest. Ed. Edward. Donnie.
Donnie. Marky.
Nah, that doesn't work. Or what? Like Italian. Or
no, like Mark Wahlberg, right? Because he was New York.
But it's Boston. Mark Wahlberg's from Boston.
Is he? Oh, yeah, he is.
Mark Wahlberg.
I get those mixed up all the time.
Yeah, I know. It's okay.
Boston and New York.
Yeah, they have almost similar accents, but if you tell them that, what are you talking about? I don't know what accent that was.
You think you're better than me?
Peter is definitely a Boston name.
Peter?
Only because of Peter Griffin.
Oh,
Peter.
Yeah. Peter.
Peter Griffin.
Peter.
Peter.
We're talking about baseball. What happened?
we're talking about the Red Sox and the Yankees.
I guess so. Yeah, you're right. I mean, okay. Well, what? I mean, you're a Dodgers fan. How the Dodgers look? Clayton Kershaw, obviously.
Clayton Kershaw was dealing yesterday, but Clayton Kershaw's had three starts, I think.
Yeah.
Dodgers have provided him with two runs of support over those three starts.
Wow.
Embarrassing.
Wow.
Embarrassing. How do you do that to your ace? Poor guy. Clayton Kershaw just has to do it all. You can't do that.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Yeah. Only two?
Yeah.
I thought, what happened to Seager and Bellinger?
I don't know. People, I think, I saw this weekend in this past series, they were much, like, Seager got walked a lot. In the first two series against Arizona and the first series against San Fran, he was reaching a lot and battling in the strike zone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Bellinger, too, like, he actually hit a single or a double against the shift that set up the winning run from... He got the winning run, I guess. Forsythe hit the... Or no, Kyle Farmer hit a double. So, yeah, Bellinger's, like, kind of figuring that out. Like, that inside and in breaking ball is, like, forget about it. All these guys are... He just bites on it so hard.
Oh, that gets him, eh? Yeah.
Well, that's what got him in the World Series. He's, what, 0-17 in the World Series?
I could see
if
that.
Cody Bellinger could have hit in the World Series, Dodgers would have won that World Series.
I think so.
100%. That's all they needed.
Yeah.
Was Cody Bellinger to hit.
Yeah. I mean, he's in the cleanup spot for a reason.
I think there was a couple times he was up there with two guys on base or the bases loaded, and he was striking out with two outs. And, yeah. I mean, that was Lance McCullers. I know his curveball just killed him.
Yeah.
That's right. That's what killed Bellinger. But now I think a lot of the guys, even Chris Taylor, too, like, their pitchers have figured out how to pitch to this team, and I think now the hitters are trying to figure out how to counteract that. I think they can't slug. When they figure it out, so
yeah, exactly. They're seeing a lot of like inside pitches. Then,
yeah, right? They're seeing, and Dodgers are finding themselves in 0-1 counts more than any team in baseball right now.
Ooh, yeah, it's tough.
It's tough to when you start down like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's interesting to see the offense kind of change a little bit, and I think this win against San Fran was huge. They needed that win, although it's like we're 1 week, but that they needed that win.
Yeah.
Like Kenley Jansen's also been a bit shaky to start. He finally got a save.
Wow.
He also pitched a scoreless inning the night prior in their 14-inning loss. So that was his first scoreless inning all season. But there was a stat where Clayton Kershaw and Kenley Jansen were pitched to Dodgers lost, which is that's absolutely insane.
That's a weird stat.
That is a weird stat, which it changed yesterday, obviously.
But that should not be a stat that makes sense.
No. No, it doesn't. So, yeah, interesting over in L.A. I mean, on the other side of things, Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, yeah. I mean...
What a guy.
I was always high on this kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Are you going to be that guy?
I am going to be that guy. I liked him.
I liked him when he was on vinyl.
I did like him. And I didn't watch his spring training. I didn't listen. I didn't hear anything about what people were saying about him. I was like, I want to see him hit in the majors. And I want to see him pitch in the majors. And so far...
He's doing both.
Three home runs. He's got 18 strikeouts. He's got, what, like a 2 ERA somewhere around there?
I don't know. Something ridiculous.
He's something, and it's awesome. And it's great that I'm hearing all these critics get silenced that talked about him.
Yeah.
It's funny, too, because I remember during the offseason, like, when it was like, where is he going? And it's like, he might be one of the Mariners.
Yeah.
And everyone got hyped. And it's like, he's not one of the Mariners. And then it's just like, that's like classic Mariners. Like, just coming so close something great, but just getting absolutely denied.
They got Ichiro instead.
They got Ichiro back. And I remember, I was like, hey, they get Ohtani. And then Ichiro comes back. And then Ichiro mentors him. Mm-hmm. And then the Skip, I don't know who the manager is for the Mariners is fired. Ken Griffey Jr. comes back to manage, and Ichiro becomes a bench coach. And I was like, this is going to be the perfect scenario. It's going to work out, and only one of three so far has happened. Ichiro came back. So
He might manage the team after.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I mean, I don't know. He's going to play until he's 60. So
how about Jake Arrieta, first start at home?
Yeah, that's right. The Phillies. dominating that one game against the Marlins, 20-1.
Oh, that was hilarious.
That was amazing. I was like, I played a ticket that day, like a parlay bet.
Yeah.
And I was like, when I was making the bet, I was like, Phillies. See the score. I'm like, Phillies. Yeah.
I think it was like 9-1 in the third inning.
Yeah, no, I think they put up 8 in the fourth.
Yeah.
And it's like,
2 grand slams, I heard.
And I'm, yeah. And I was just like, yeah, Derek Jeter. Respect, Miami Marlins.
That it's the pitching. The hitting is actually pretty good in Miami, but the pitching is absolutely horrendous.
You have
Jose Urania, who's got like a plus 6 ERA.
He's their starter.
He's their best. He's their ace, really. He's their best starter.
That's hilarious.
I mean, they have some decent They have a decent bullpen. It's just their starting pitching is terrible. It is just horrendous.
20-1 though, like. I just love how they like got a run in.
I know. It's so like, petty. I don't know how it happened, but I want to know how it happened.
Yeah, it's just like, we can't get shut out.
It's like a solo shot.
Yeah. It's like, I don't want to get shut out today.
But yeah, you know, you lose Yelich, you lose Stanton, you lose
Ozuna.
You're going to lose Real Muto, I think.
D. Gordon's gone too.
Yeah, D. Gordon, another one.
Everyone's is gone.
You got Starlin Castro though.
Oh yeah. Starlin Castro, Cubs superstar. Starlin Castro.
Justin Boer.
That team sucks. I'm sorry.
I think that's a very simple and astute observation.
I'm sorry, but like that team, if they can prove me wrong this season, I'll be more than happy to be proven wrong. But right now,
no, they won't make it out of that division. I'm sorry. My buddy's a Marlins fan. He's a big Marlins fan.
Really?
Yeah, he's a. I don't know what got him on.
Poor guy.
Yeah, well, at least he's not a Rays fan. If you're gonna pick a Florida team. At least the Marlins have a nice jersey.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Rays are doing so well, too.
I mean, outside of Jose Fernandez, I mean, they like 2 seasons ago, they had a really good
they
lineup.
They did.
Jose Fernandez, Stanton, Yelich coming up. I mean.
And they had a really good closer, too, if I remember correctly, too. Like, they had, like, a decent team to make a run.
Yep.
But.
I think they were close to a wild card spot 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, they were. And then it's just everything just faltered, and it's. It's crazy.
But they were on the cusp. Like, I think they were on such a... And that... I mean, it's tragic you have to lose Jose Fernandez like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Oh, I was so excited for him. Like, he's just like, what? He was only like 23, and he was like just dealing every time he went on the mound. And he was so fun to watch, too. Like, we rarely see personalities on the baseball field or in any sport.
Yeah.
And he was one of those guys. Like, it was just like, man, like, this guy likes to play the game. Like,
he's just having a good time.
Yeah, and that's the best part.
It's awful that that's how they had to lose their... Yeah. It's not like they traded him away, and you can be like, blame the Marlins. Well, you started your own downfall. But I want to say that kind of started their own...
It did. Honestly, it did because...
I mean, when you lose him, then...
Fernandez is a once-in-a-generation kind of pitcher.
Yep.
Or he was. And you lose that, and it's like, okay, well, how do you rebuild your starting rotation like that?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you can hit, but...
You can't just win every game 21-20.
But on the flip side of that, I mean, talk about Stanton.
Yeah.
He doesn't look good so far in New York.
No, what is he had 8 strikeouts or something?
He had another 5 strikeout game, I think, the other day.
After hitting 2 home run bombs in his first game.
And you know what? Like, I get that the Yankees fans are like, they want to boo him. But I mean, like, he's meant to be slugging home runs. So you're going to see a lot of strikeouts.
Right? That's the thing in today's MLB. No, guys who hit home runs aren't getting on base. Yeah. They just hit home runs. So and we talked about that last time.
We talked about that extensively last time.
So we can leave it at that, but that's it.
But just so you know, if you're a baseball fan and you have a slugger on your team, get ready for 200 strikeouts. 200
but get,
plus.
But get 30 home runs.
Yeah, 200 you know, plus
take
strikeouts.
Take the good with the bad.
With a 200 average. Oh, crazy, guys. What else happened around the MLB? I can't remember.
I remember I was making a mental list in my head, but I know the Mets, Shohei Ohtani. There was a big scuffle in
In St. Louis.
St. Louis,
that's
right.
Tori Lavello. Tori Lavello and Yadier Molina.
Molina, yeah.
So, like, Lavello said something?
Well, I read there's a story on it. I read Lavello came up to the mound to argue a strike in like the second inning, and that and already in the first inning, Peralta was mad at a strike that was a bit low, and it was a bit low. Mm-hmm. But this, I can't remember the ump's name, but his strike zone was a bit crazy that game. It was a bit weird. So I also was like, I was okay with it because I had Luke Weaver pitching in fantasy, and I was like, sweet strikeout, but. Yeah. At the same time, I was like, yeah, that's a bit unfair. But then he comes up to him, and he's calling Molina. He's yelled to Molina, which really set him off. He's like, that mother effer is making that is making balls or making balls look like strikes.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of set Molina off.
Daniel DiScalzo
had to come in and step in because he used to play for the Cards.
Yeah.
So he stepped in to kind of help break it up, and then the benches just cleared. No fists were thrown.
Yeah, I saw that. That seems like a weird thing to be angry about, is a catcher framing pitches.
Yeah, that's their job.
That's what every catcher does.
If a catcher can make a strike look like a ball or a ball look like a strike, yeah, then he's doing a good job.
Exactly.
And Molina's like 30,000 years old. He's been around.
Yeah, he can frame pitches.
Yeah, he's one of the best.
And to be angry about that, yeah, if I was Molina, I'd be pretty mad too. Like, yeah, why are you getting mad at me for doing my job?
Like, yeah, well, and I mean, he's immediate. Like, players, and the thing is, like, it's the second inning. And, I mean, yeah, the D-backs won, but ended up winning. And it's the second inning of that game.
Yeah.
And the manager's coming out to argue strikes already.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I get players arguing the strike zone. I mean, they can, and they can argue it, but you're immediately ejected as a manager if you argue balls and strikes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So he was immediately ejected, but, like, also, why are you doing that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
It seemed pretty stupid. I mean, it's like we're a week in.
I just want to see manager blow-ups. Like, you ever watched Earl Weaver's blow-up when he was managing the Orioles back in the 80s? You got to look up the video. We can't play it because he gets really profane. And it's the best thing ever because it's like this, like, 5'5 guy, like my height essentially,
yeah,
yelling at an umpire. Oh, ball beep! Oh, yeah, yeah, that's nice. It's like you're out of here, Earl. Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's really nice. And he walks away and then comes back.
Oh, man.
It's like, and another thing. What, so you can blow another World Series, Earl?
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Oh, good one. It's like the classic, like, 80s just Church. Argument. Yeah. It's the best thing ever. Like, you gotta, if anyone listening and you too, Ryan, you gotta watch, look up Earl Weaver on YouTube. Okay, first thing. It's the first thing you see. Like, it's
I've amazing. Seen Pete Rose's freakouts, but
yeah, no, but
those
yeah,
are classic.
Yeah, and like, oh, just 80s, 90s, like, manager and player freakouts are the best because, like, it's no holds barred. Like, these are old guys just letting it all out there. Oh, like, man. Probably, you know, fueled by a substance that was very popular during those days.
Yep.
Like, losing their mind. It was the best. It's awesome. It's great.
I think my favorite era for baseball is like the 1970s. Just because of the hair.
Oh, yeah.
The way the uniforms look. Everyone looked tall and lanky. And
the porn mustaches.
Yeah, they all, like, everyone. Everyone in baseball just looked, no one was good looking in baseball. The 70s were the best, and they had the little stirrups, like, I loved it.
And, like, pitcher deliveries in the 70s, too,
was
just ridiculous, right? Because it's like, they would just be so extravagant with it, or it's just...
Every pitcher was unique. It's not like the standardized one you see now, almost.
Yeah,
but, like, the 70s were my favorite. Watching highlights from the 70s is always my favorite.
It was good for baseball and good for hockey, too, because, like, there were no helmets. So all you saw were, like, just, like,
the
mullets.
Nice flow.
Just mullets just hanging in the wind. Just.
Yeah, Guy Lafleur's hair flying down the wing. Like, I love the pictures of his hair, and you can just see his hair. And you're like, oh, looks so cool.
Oh, man.
But it's good they wear helmets, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's good. You know, obviously.
That needed to change. That was way too long. Hockey's an archaic sport.
It is.
So.
Yeah. I guess if we're going to talk about hockey, then.
We can talk about playoffs.
Playoffs? Playoffs?
Talking about practice.
There's this one guy that I work with at my office, and he's, like, a bit of an older guy. Like, he's like a nice old man, and, like, he's a big Jets fan, big hockey fan. And every time I say it, I was like, well, I guess we'll see Jets in the playoffs. And he's like, playoffs? And I'm like, playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Oh, man.
He's great.
A lot of Jets fans are very, very, very cynical because I think that's just growing up in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Gives you that kind of view.
So I guess we can pull
up. Are we going to pick winners for the first round? May as well.
You know what?
We can be on the record for who we think
was
going to win. Yes,
let's pull up the matchups, and let's see what we can come up with.
All right, you got to pick a winner, and you got to pick one reason why.
All right, well, let's start with Nashville, Colorado, then.
Nashville wins because they're better.
Yes. All right, I agree. Winnipeg, Minnesota.
I know we talked about
week. Nashville, Colorado, how many games?
Okay, I'm going to go Nashville in 5.
Okay, Can
I steal yours? You can take the next one.
I feel like I want to say Nashville in 5 too, but I feel like there's a chance it might go to 6. Like, there's like that, like, little,
all right,
like,
we'll see. We got Nashville in 6. We got to write this down somewhere.
All right, hold on.
Okay, I'll put it on my notes on my phone.
You got notes?
I'll write it in my notes.
Okay, and I got the picture.
You got so, and then
I
this
got,
will
I got
also,
Nashville in six.
This will also be on the Rex.
Yes.
So Joe and Ryan's
need a title.
Yeah, I got a title. Get that bold font.
Bullet points.
Plough predictions. All right. So I got Ryan has. Oh, okay. You know what? We'll do it after.
Nashville,
do it after.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll I got Nashville in six, and you have.
I got Nashville in six.
Oh yeah, I have Nashville in five.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Winnipeg, Minnesota.
You go first this time.
Winnipeg in seven.
Wow, seven games.
Yeah.
I don't want to say the Minnesota Wild, but I want to at the same time.
Just do it, man.
You know what? I'm going to go Wild in seven.
What's your heart saying? Okay.
Wild in seven.
All right. Vegas Kings.
Kings in six.
Yeah, me too.
All right, we're going to have to redo this after the show just so I can write down. But
Ducks, Sharks.
You go first on that one.
I'll take the Ducks in six.
I'm gonna do Ducks in seven.
All right. So that's the Western. Eastern. Tampa, New Jersey.
Is this me go first?
I guess so.
Okay, I'm gonna go Tampa in five.
I'm gonna say Tampa in seven.
Ooh, okay. Hall scores a couple game winners.
I think New Jersey can give them trouble. I think Tampa might get complacent.
We also have not been giving reasons why we're theme teams.
We'll make our picks, okay. And then we'll do it afterwards.
Okay.
Why we picked it. But yeah, Tampa and seven.
All right. We should make a whole bracket. Screw
yes.
it. Okay.
Boston, Toronto.
Boston is seven.
Yeah.
I hope that goes to seven. I'm so excited for that series.
Yes. I will also say Boston in seven.
Okay.
Washington, Columbus.
Columbus in six.
I want to pick Columbus, but I want to see Obi win a cup, and I can't decide whether I listen to my heart or my gut.
Always go with your gut, but I want to. You know what? Can I retract that? I can't, because I might have Washington win the cup, but you know what? We're gonna go watch Columbus in six.
Yeah,
I gotta have some hot takes here.
All right, I'll say Washington in seven because
okay.
I think Columbus can give them trouble too.
Okay.
And then finally, the Battle of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, Philly.
Baby. We were talking about this.
Yeah.
We got the playoff matchup we wanted.
It. Yes.
Yeah. I'm going to go Philly in seven.
Yes, me too.
All right.
Yep.
Sick. Okay, what's the second round? We had. We both have Nashville. Okay, let's say it's Nashville, Winnipeg.
It'd be.
I have the Wild winning, but I know Winnipeg's going to win.
We should just discuss our picks for the first round for now.
Okay, fine.
And then we'll do second round when second round comes around.
All right, yeah, that makes sense, because then we won't look like fools.
Exactly.
Now we can just kind of look like fools.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah, I picked Winnipeg in seven because I think the experience of the Wild is definitely going to show when it comes to playoffs. I think you've got Dubnyk.
Well, they don't have Suter, so.
That's the thing, too. That's why I want to say Winnipeg in seven, because I think Dubnyk can steal a couple games. But ultimately, like that, you need Suter if you want to make a deep run.
I think if they do beat Winnipeg, they're out in like four against Nashville.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think what's going to happen is, with Maurice too, like I know that he's very adaptive to situations when it comes to certain styles he's seeing. Maybe I'm talking out of my butt, but I don't know.
I think both of us talk out of our butt this whole show.
Yeah, I think we did. but I think there's gonna. I think the Wild will take one game in Winnipeg, and then Winnipeg will take another one in Minnesota. And then it'll be like a split series 2-2. And then I think Winnipeg will take the two home games that they have, game five and game seven.
Hmm.
I think that's what's going to happen.
I don't know. I think for me, if
for
I've been...
Me.
For me, in my opinion,
that's my opinion.
I was doing some reading.
Mm-hmm.
I do that sometimes.
Yeah.
And I had... Notice that Winnipeg's power play, special teams, Minnesota has Winnipeg beaten special teams.
Mm.
And Winnipeg has been heading back to their trend of taking penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have as good as a penalty kill. And Minnesota has got a decent power play.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Winnipeg's penalty kill has shown some weakness the last 25 games. So, I don't know. I'm just saying.
We'll see.
You know what? I'm a big anti-Winnipeg Jets
there you
guy.
Go. Yeah. No, they. I mean, if the Canucks were in here, I'd definitely be cheering for the Canucks. But
can I get this out of the way? I know we got, what, 5 minutes? Okay.
Go for it.
Just because I'm a Canadian and just because I'm from Winnipeg, I do not have to cheer for a Canadian team.
Yeah.
Don't ask me. Anyone who knows me, don't ask me why I'm not cheering for a Canadian team.
Yeah.
Because I have there's nothing forcing me. Why do I have to cheer for a Canadian team? Was like, every year the Oilers, which is a lot of years, the Oilers have not made the playoffs. I always get, well, let's just cheer for the Canadian team. No.
Yeah.
Why do I have to? What? Who wrote the rules that, and they always do this, it's like, which team is Canada going to support? Why do Canadians have to support other teams?
There's definitely teams. Like this, this sort of, you know, patriotic mindset when it comes to hockey in Canada, right? It
doesn't make any sense to me.
It doesn't, but, you know, you can tell that's what a lot of people feel. It's like, oh, it's the only Canadian team. We got to cheer for them because Canada is hockey, yeah. You know, stuff like that, which is, like, you know, a dumb reason.
The Jets have a lot of Americans on their team.
Exactly, right?
They have, like, a lot. They have a lot more.
I feel like they have more, like, teams from other countries than they do Canadians.
I think they, we'll have to get back to you on that, but
because off the top of my head, Bufflin, Wheeler, Connor, Trouba.
All American.
Yeah. Hellebuck.
Hellebuck.
Yeah, that's five Americans right there.
Lane's Finnish. Armia's Finnish.
Ehlers is
Danish.
Danish.
Lowry is Canadian. Yeah. Shifley's Canadian.
Yeah.
That's Toby Enstrom, not from Canada. No. He's from Sweden or something.
Yeah.
Tucker Poolman is a Canadian, I think. Oh, a lot of their grinders.
Tyler Myers is American.
Yep. No, actually, he's Canadian.
Is he?
Yeah, he's Canadian. He was born in America, but he's Canadian. Played for the world. For Canada at the World Championship, so he's technically Canadian.
Oh, okay.
But none of their star players, their one star player, Mark Scheifele, is Canadian.
Yeah.
Out of their big, Brian Little's Canadian.
Yeah.
Right, we could.
Let's talk about next week. Should we justify our picks or?
Nah, you know what? We can just keep talking until we have.
We got like less than 4 minutes left. So.
So yeah, but I'm just saying, like, going off that thing about having to cheer for. Canadian teams, I think it's stupid. I will be cheering for Nashville because I'm partaking in Teebs's Trevor Alexander's playoff survivor show.
Yeah.
She hosts on the hockey show here on UMFM on Thursdays at 5. You want to give that a listen. It's a good show. Sometimes I listen to it. Sometimes. Great, good show, good content. So, yeah, I got the first place in the Central, so that's Nashville. So I will be cheering for Nashville.
Nashville's your pick. If I want to speak honestly, Philadelphia is my pick.
Ooh, I love
I think it's, you know what?
I'd love to see Philly win.
I want to ride that train. And my friend from Vancouver who's listening to this will not like me for saying that, but I'm sorry, Adam. Like,
who cares, Adam? It's Philly.
They win the Super Bowl. Their university, Villanova University, wins the championship. The Sixers clinch a spot. The Flyers in the playoffs. The Phillies look good. I mean,
for the Broad Street Bullies, baby.
Little Dickies from Philly. You know what? Like, I gotta support Philly these playoffs for the Eastern side. If Winnipeg makes it to the Cup, then I'll support Winnipeg. But if Philly makes it to the Cup and Winnipeg isn't in the Cup, I'm going with Philly.
Yeah, I think a lot of it too. I've always based playoffs on local guys. Like, I cheered for Chicago for a lot of years because of Jonathan Toews, and I wanted to see the Cup being. And I did see every time you brought it back. I got to see the Cup, which I thought was cool. That's why I cheered for Chicago.
You know what's funny though? Going back to my pick, I realize now that I have trashed Philly before on the show.
Oh no! They got Nolan Patrick, the local Winnipeg
That's
boy.
That's true, and I've trashed Philly, but I think I'm gonna set aside whatever prejudices and feelings I had, negative feelings I had towards Philly for the NHL playoffs, and I'm gonna say that Philadelphia Flyers are my team, and Philly Cheesesteaks are good.
They are.
And you know, besides that, if you get a chance, watch Bill Burr's rant on Philly because it's the funniest thing ever.
I love Bill Burr. Oh, it's the funniest. I just listened to his podcast this morning. Another good podcast.
Yeah, I love his podcast. I was watching a bit of his stand-up last night too. So.
I might go home after this and watch his stand-up specials.
Oh, it's always a good time.
I have a haircut at 3. So.
Oh, there you go. well then.
Now you know about my life.
I guess we could wrap it up then. This was good.
This is a good podcast.
I think we covered.
Why do I call a podcast a radio show?
I think we covered a lot. And you know, Craig. Adolf, mm-hmm. How you say it?
Craig Adolf, yeah.
Yeah, he messaged me and he was like, I like this episode, man. I was like, what? Wow.
Really? Wow, former EIC of the chairman of the board of the Manitoban.
Craig, if you're listening to this, we appreciate you and we got to get you on the show.
I think he'd be a fun guest to have.
Oh, yeah, he would be. And he said Amazon sucks, so I want to hear about that from him.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, he said Amazon sucks, the way he typed it. So. Ooh.
Yeah, no, so, we got to get him on.
Yes.
Shout out to Craig.
If we don't get him on the summer,
we'll fire this back up on SoundCloud.
Yeah. If we don't get him on the summer, we'll get him live in the booth when our show comes on back from the school year. On Tuesdays, live. live from Winnipeg, live from the Fort Garry campus. It's Tuesday morning with a cup of Joe and a shot of rye, and your hosts.
All right, this is good. What, you got 30 seconds left?
Listen, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate you as always.
Have good luck on your exams.
Yeah, good luck on your exams. Have something good to eat. Have a good weekend, and we will see y'all next week. Peace.